Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, do mixed cultural marriages within the Muslim communities in the West alienate converts to Islam?
Islam has no objection to mixed cultural marriages. But cultures that Muslims in the West immigrated from are often very hostile to this practice. As a result, new converts to Islam who may come from non-traditional Muslim cultures find it hard to find spouses and feel alienated from Muslim communities as well as societies they come from. In today's program, Islam and Life will discuss, do mixed cultural marriages within the Muslim communities in the West alienate converts to Islam?
We very often speak about converts to Islam and are happy, and the Muslims are very happy because these are people coming to a better understanding of Islam, converting to Islam. Yet within the communities in the West, we have lots of problems, not only from a religious viewpoint. Of course, the first step with Muslims is done, but then we have cultural problems, and sometimes the converts don't find a place within the community, welcomed first and then not knowing exactly how to behave, in which way they are going to be welcome. And sometimes when it comes to marriages, very difficult because cultural tensions, and sometimes the family are happy when it goes for other families, but when it comes to their family, they are feeling some pressure, tensions, and not always welcoming when it comes to converts to Islam, Western converts or Muslims coming from other cultures. So these are questions that the Muslims are facing in their daily life. And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Sophia Mortimer, a public speaker and Muslim matchmaker. Thank you for being with us today. As we have seen in the clip, there are problems within the Muslim communities, and very often the converts, when they are first entering the Muslim communities in the West, they have the feeling that yes, everything is fine, that we are very happy, that this is a very positive next step, first step, and then when it comes to marriages, when it comes to be welcome, deeply welcome within the community, it's much more difficult than that. So what is the state of affairs that you are working at the grassroots level? You know many converts. Your own experience is one of a woman getting married with a convert. How does it work today?
Well, I actually originally became a matchmaker because of this problem. So I married a white English convert, alhamdulillah. And then I sort of promised Allah once I get married, I would try and help others to get married. And now specifically, if you think about convert Muslims, so with matchmaking, I don't restrict myself to any ethnicity or any particular sect or anything like that. So I have a vast array of people of all different ages, and I'm actually connected with 35 different matchmakers worldwide, if you like. But it's no easy task getting people together.
But can you explain what is it exactly?
Okay, basically I will normally get, generally I know the person or somebody refers that person, so it's not complete strangers, it's some sort of referral, and it's mainly done through email. So fast, efficient, busy people who want to find a spouse, you know, a very blessed act that they're going to do, they can email me and tell me about themselves, and I can tell them about somebody that I think may match for them. But yes, if you think about generally, so within my community, so I'm from a Khoja community, so East African, originally from India, and then they moved to East Africa. If all of the Khojas, for example, want to marry Khojas, and all the Iraqis want to marry Iraqis, and all the Iranians want to marry Iranians, and we all want to stick very closely, because obviously language is great if you can all speak the same language, and other advantages of having the same cultural two cultures marrying. But what are these new Muslims or these converts supposed to do in this situation?
Is mainly the problem? The problem is, you know, now we are reaching the third, fourth generation. And when I'm dealing with young Muslims, or British Muslims, or American Muslims, or European Muslims, now they have been, you know, living here. We feel that sometimes they are connected with their country of origin, and they have this very cultural quotient that we have to be very cautious with other cultures.
So how is it to do with the family then? I think if you're born and brought up here, so for me personally, I don't have very much of my Indian culture. So at home, for example, we speak English. Now, I think because just yesterday it sparked off a whole debate. I wrote something on Facebook and everybody, it was about marriage and marrying a black convert. And, you know, and you had people going left, right, center. And there was a girl arguing, no, but I need my parents' permission. I need my parents to be happy. And then there was a black convert Muslim saying, no, you know, you don't necessarily need your father's permission. And if they're simply disagreeing because of the color of his skin, then that is not a valid reason. So I think the main problem that people would have, maybe my generation born and brought up here, would mainly be with their parents, because obviously you want to take consideration to what your parents want. You know, and some people say when you're marrying somebody, you're marrying in their family or into the family, and some people say no, if the two people are happy and they get along. So it varies, and like you very rightly said at the beginning, we might say from, oh yes, there's nothing wrong with marrying a convert, and then people find, and you know, you can, like for example, my husband can't speak to my grandma, and that, to me, that's a small disadvantage. The advantage he brings into my life and the marriage brings outweighs the fact that, you know, my grandma can't speak much English and he can't speak the language Gujarati that she speaks. And that's a negative, but it's small in comparison. I think the bigger picture of having good manners and having good akhlaq, that transcends, you know, colour and ethnicity.
Yes,
and race.
But there is something which is even deeper than that, even in our understanding of Islam, because we are all saying, and the Muslims are saying, Islam is a universal religion. And it's as if we are confusing universal religion with uniformity in culture. Some of the Arabs, they want Arab people, and the Pakistani. And as you said, it's becoming a segregated perception of our universal message. And here, our understanding of Islam is really to be able to go beyond the cultural limitation and borders, and to come to something which is beyond that. The problem is that it's not happening, and even with the youngest generation. More than that even, is that when we have people converting to Islam, coming from the West or European countries, we expect from them not to become Muslims, but to become Muslims plus adding to this our culture. So we are expecting from them to Arabize themselves, to Turkishize themselves, to Pakistanize themselves. And I think that here, if you are dealing with, you know, this at the grassroots level, how do you tackle this? Because it's clear that for some, cutting themselves from the culture, from the surrounding culture, is not the way forward.
Yeah, it is a problem. It's a hard question and a hard topic to tackle. You know, because just like our local mosque, for example, it's changed. Back in the day, the lectures would always be in Urdu. And this has slowly changed. And now the majority, definitely 99%, are in English. And so, but if you think about it, that is then catering more for the youth. And then the old people are slightly unhappy because they can't necessarily understand. It depends kind of who's the president of the mosque at the time, if they think, no, it's more important to feed the youth. And, you know, in some centres we'll cater for all languages, but just in ourselves as well. If we want to welcome someone, you know, it's not polite to start speaking another language to the person next to us. And like you say, because we hear that obviously many women actually convert to Islam, but sadly, I think I've heard that it's actually the women that actually come out again, because somehow women are very cliquey and the women don't feel like they join the society, the Muslim, you know, like among the men, like my husband says at tea time, there's a big brotherhood and they really are very welcoming. Just within our mosque, for example, there's at least 20 converts that are in the men's section, and in the women's there's barely one. And I don't know if that is a problem. And I've spoken to a friend who often invites women converts to the mosque, and I said, you know, just give me a call so that I can be there when they come, just to make them feel welcome. I also know within South London, there's actually a group have opened calling themselves the South London Revert Community. So there, you don't have any of these cultural added things in the programs, and it's just, you know, you have the lecture in English, you have the dua in Arabic, because that's the usual, and you don't, you know, but then people say that that's sad if then they have to cater for themselves into a completely different coming out of the community, because there's definitely things to be gained from interacting with kind of older Muslims, if you like. But even if you look at the mosques, we are segregated often into Iranian mosque.
But this is, yes, yeah, exactly. This is yeah, why we have to face the problem and to face the differences and the segregation that we are ourselves we are creating within the community. Mm. Because we have lots of people who are converts to they are converting to Islam, and their perception, you know, even in my country, in Switzerland, we have now a mosque for the converts. Mm. So the Swiss, they are not happy with the way things are taught in the mosque for the Arabs and the other mosque for the Turks. Mm. So they want a mosque for themselves. And we end up having this mosque depending on the cultural background. Mm. While what should be done in the West is exactly the opposite, is to help the converts to feel well at home, because they are at home. This is there. So there is, we need a rational here, something which is a new way of talking about Islam in the West, which is there is nothing wrong between being a Muslim and being a Western. And when you enter a family, and to get this also understood by the Muslims who are coming from Muslim majority countries, that they are entering in the within the culture, and not everything is bad in this culture, that you have to learn about it and to welcome these differences.
Yeah.
So my point here is, are you able to do this? Because very often we are saying Islam is against racism, but unfortunately many Muslims are still advocating ideas or promoting ideas that are
marriage could be one of the excellent ways to do this. So for example, within our mosque, my husband and I, we were the first, if you like, mixed race marriage that took place within our mosque. But then subsequent to that, there's been about another three. Okay. And when I started doing the matchmaking, recently, I've had phone calls, and I've been doing it for about 3-4 years. I've had phone calls specifically saying, I want to marry a convert. And that's really going up the frequency of that happening. And I think some people said to me, oh, you know, I've met your husband, and I think my daughter would get on very well with somebody like your husband, for example. Yeah. So they're seeing, when they see, like, quite funny, sometimes me and my husband, we go to a family gathering and they'll say, Assalamu alaikum, hello, Chris. And it's that, they, for some reason, they're not saying salam to him. They know he's Muslim, you know. I don't know what that is, that sort of, okay, he's white, or he looks different, or, you know, we don't take into, I don't understand it myself.
So maybe it's salamu alaikum, Chris, coming together. So it's not matching in the mindset.
Yeah, or some people think that he has to change his name if he's become Muslim, which of course he didn't, because, you know, even the Prophet's companions, they didn't change their name unless it was, you know, a bad name, for example. So we have to just educate people, I guess, with the name thing. You know, it's very important. He's kept his name. His parents, that name for his parents is very important. So good, he's kept it. You know, if it means Christopher, bearer of Christ, there's nothing wrong with that name. And and when people say, oh no, why hasn't he changed his name to a Muslim name? They say, no, he doesn't need to. You know,
the starting point of all the discussion is that the Muslim names are not the Arab names, that you can have a Western name as long as you said, and this is something which is within the tradition. From the beginning, if your name doesn't mean something which is against your principles, go ahead and keep it. And it's also a good way to reconcile yourself with your family, because it's a way that they will see that you are becoming a Muslim, but not you are still their son or their daughter.
Mm. Even for that word purposes, if I say, for example, my husband is Chris, they say, oh, is he English? Oh, is he Muslim? You know, and there's questions and
even
interest.
Even questioning your...
and then they want to know why. And so it's like a great introduction to then talk to somebody, but oh, come and meet him, listen to how he became Muslim or why he became Muslim. Yeah. So there's advantages of that.
So tell us, what do you have to do... That's fine, this is your own experience. For example, for this to work, you are coming from a specific cultural background, he's coming from a different cultural background. It's not enough to say, oh, we are both Muslims and it's enough. Cultures sometimes are clashing. How do you deal with this? Which can be your advice to people who are experiencing this or want to experiencing this or are scared of experiencing it?
See, if you are truly practicing Islam in a way that you don't, for example, I didn't want all the cultural baggage that come. I wanted somebody who was passionate about Islam, wanted to find out more about Islam, wanted to practice sort of true sort of root Islam, and basically had discovered Islam for themselves. Because my background previously, I wasn't very religious, and then I became religious, if you like, maybe some ways like a convert in that way. And so we do have, because Islam obviously is a way of life. So if if your Islam is equal, so for example, if I think me and him are on the same track religiously, then the things you like to do, what you spend your money on, you have that in common. And I know what you're saying about cultural differences, maybe, I don't know, food you like to eat or things like that. But for us, I think I haven't really found that. Now, I have friends that, for example, love to watch Indian movies and things like that. And maybe for them, it wouldn't be suitable if they couldn't, if those things were that important to them or, you know, that was very much ingrained into them. Maybe it wouldn't be convenient or work if they were to marry to somebody of a different ethnicity. But depending on yourself and what you're looking for, I guess you would know if you would suit to marry. When it comes to the families, you know, I know that, for example, different like different areas of Pakistan, they have some issues if somebody from this area marries somebody from this area, and they get all this tribal business that comes, which isn't, you know, in Islam. I don't know if we've got it from Hinduism or something. And when that all gets in the way, that can get in the way of sort of, if you like, the same ethnicity groups. They have actually more cultural problems, because maybe this culture will expect the son-in-law to do this and they will expect the daughter-in-law to do this. In my case, my mother-in-law doesn't expect anything from me, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, so it means that for you, because you were born in the UK, you were born here, your family is not expecting, you are not expecting anything which was mainly cultural. No. You wanted the Islamic principles, and you came to the Islamic principles. Sometimes it's more difficult, and I would say we should not underestimate the cultural challenge and say, okay, look, it means it takes effort.
Yeah, like marriage is a challenge, and marriage itself takes effort. Yeah.
But with culture, the way you speak, the way of life, to be able to listen to what the other has to say, expectation, the family, it's a challenge, and it means for anyone, it's full of richness. It's giving you a lot, as you said. It's giving you a lot. It doesn't mean that you should not be involved in listening and getting a better knowledge of the culture. And when we speak about converts here, sometimes we have to say to the Muslims who were born here but coming from another culture, know much more about the Western culture, the European culture, because many things are Islamic. They are very close to Islam, and this is what you are experiencing. Someone who is coming to the principles might bring more things as a positive understanding of Islam. And very often we don't have this in the community. And so what can we do to change this? Now, what is the way forward?
I think educating people, because we hear about, you know, certain companions of the Prophet, certain Islamic figures, and the marriages they had. So, for example, with the Imams, we know that some of their mothers were from like modern day Spain or from Romanian and things like this. So we have this in our head, but then when we see, I think when we see different colours quite often, or people doing things in a different way. I guess, because you know when you're ignorant of something, you're kind of afraid of it, if you like. So just to embrace it, so I think the more people see these mixed cultural marriages, or the more people interact with converts, so I think it's not a good idea to have them in a separate mosque, for example.
But how can we do it in our mosque,
we need
for example.
To be polite and cater for them and invite them in and just make them feel welcome, you know? You know, like I said with the girls, not have your own little social circle that you're used to speaking with. Go outside. A different culture is very interesting, you know? Somebody that's come into Islam is very interesting to know why, to know how, and it can enrich you.
Yes, but the problem is that you are already...
Active.
You are already open to that, but what if the people are not so open? They want to remain within their culture. They are very happy with the converts, but not within the family. Just in the mosque, it's okay. In my family, not so okay. So how can we change this? And as you said, because mainly the problem should be with the parents. Is that it's quite heavy. Because for many parents, the fact that you are going to get married outside your culture means that we are losing you. You are lost for the family. How can we change
this? Because if it was in the culture, they would know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows them.
Exactly.
And if it's outside, they might not have that connection. So, but the thing is that the parents, they have to meet that potential spouse, you know. I'm for the children, I'm not saying sort of fall in love with the person and then... No, at the initial stages, you know, if you're going about it in the correct Islamic way, at the initial stages, get your parents to meet that person, which is what we did. And because initially, if anybody would have asked if my parents would have had an issue with me marrying outside, they would have. They definitely would have. And I say that God sprinkled some magic dust or something. Because magically, honestly, they didn't have, but they met him and they liked his character and his manners, and they warmed to him very quickly just through meeting him. And I think they would have, I can understand what you're saying, I think they would have had that blockage if I just said, oh, you know, can I marry him or can I meet him or something like that. But actually, somehow they agreed to meet him, and then that was very good because it was through meeting the person.
So it means first to repeat that it's Islamically right, that there is nothing wrong in the culture of the converts when they are Europeans, and then the practical thing is meeting, getting along, and to try to understand this, you know, cultural empathy, which is important. You have been working on that field for a long time now. Are you optimistic? Do you see things changing?
Definitely. I've definitely seen a change. Like I say, there's a demand for marrying converts now, alhamdulillah.
So, why? Because the women are not happy with the
I don't know. Maybe they're hearing good things. Maybe they want to check. I really don't know the reasons why, maybe. But I get specific phone calls for asking for this now. So I think some of the parents are saying, you know, I'm introducing, this is it, they're introducing their daughters or their sons to this, to people within their community. They're not liking them, so they introduce them 1 week, somebody a different another week, somebody different, and the daughters or the son are saying no, and they say, okay, let me think, what is more going to be suitable for my child born here? Okay, if there is a convert perhaps, born and brought up here, let's introduce them, let's see
so
what
it's
happens.
Even coming from the parents.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. This is a very important topic, and as we are saying, from an Islamic viewpoint, to be a convert and to come with the culture of origin is always good. A Western, a European culture, nothing is wrong on, you know, related to the Islamic principles. The problem is the way the people are looking at that, and sometimes resistance, cultural resistance in the family, as you were saying, the parents, and it's not easy. So it's a question of opening up. Is not to create masks for the convert, but to let the people feel good in our common mask, to speak to the parents. You were talking about education, it's very important, and also to meet with the people. So first, to get a better understanding of Islamic principles, not to ask the people to Arabize and to Pakistanize or whatever themselves, to remain who they are. They don't have to change their name if there is nothing wrong from an Islamic principle as to the name, and then to go for more encounters, discussions and dialogue. And you were very optimistic, because what is seen now on the ground is really people coming to a better understanding of their religion, but at the same time also a better understanding of the diversity of cultures. So this is something which is a very important challenge for the Muslim communities in the West, to deal with the Western culture in a positive way. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Sophia Mortimer. Thank you so much for your input, your energy, and your optimism. I think it's important to hear that things are going better on that field. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah. We'll be right back.